Well, good morning. As we have been told, we are learning from 2 Peter 1, and so let me quickly invite your attention there. 2 Peter chapter 1. We will commence reading from the 5th verse, although as you already heard, my message will be from the 8th. Because of the coronavirus and its impact upon society generally. I was reading this morning that approximately 160,000 lives have been lost, and that's a staggering number. 160,000 lives, surely. And it caused us to times of self-humiliation, it caused us times of prayer, caused all of us to seriously consider our relationship with God in the midst of taking all those preventative and precautionary measures that have been advised by government and also by health officials. We, for instance, have been strongly advised not to congregate and consequently are currently preaching in an auditorium that is as good as empty. However, grateful for technology that enables me to speak to those of you who have tuned in. So I will read 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5 from the English Standard Version. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours, and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, most of you who might be tuning in and not regular at Sabbat Baptist Church might not know this, but prior to my being aware for the last 6 weeks, I have been taking a series of messages under the theme, Christian, grow up. Christian, grow up. And basically, my burden was that it's important for those of us who are believers to realize that we are not simply to profess faith and as it were continue to merely exist and somehow try to keep away from sin and trouble until we find ourselves in heaven. But rather, that we are in fact called to grow in Christ-likeness. God wants us to become more fruitful, to be effective, to glorify Him more and more and more as we live here on earth. And it is as we grow up in Him that in fact we begin to fulfill the purpose for which we truly exist. And that's the appeal that I'm making as we're making our way through this passage of scripture in the second picture. That we have no reason whatsoever for us to dwell in our spiritual experience, for us to continue in immaturity as we are living here on earth. Because those who are spiritual giants of the faith have no more grace offered to them than the rest of us. The same faith that Peter has is the same one that God has given us as well. In fact, earlier on in this passage, in verse 3, Peter had said, his divine power, I'm referring to God's divine power, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So really, we have been given all that we need for all of us to be true spiritual giants. However, as we have been looking in the last 10 to 15 studies, we have noted that we must now be the ones to make every effort to strain our spiritual muscles as it were, to ensure we are making progress. Adding faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. That's a responsibility that each one of us has, and we need to ensure we are playing our role in adding those qualities to ourselves so that we might become truly godly and spiritual. And one of the points that I'm supposed to play over and over and over again is that we need to notice that the qualities are spiritual. The Apostle Peter is not saying, make sure you add to your faith diplomas and degrees and certificates and wives and children and houses and cars and so on. No. Although we are disparaging all that, it is primarily spiritual qualities that all of us must be aiming for, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Suddenly, when one sees the kind of things that believers seem to throw all their weight into, day by day, week by week, month after month, you find that it is largely physical things. We begin to inquire what effort they are putting into spiritual acquisition, you find scandalously very little. No wonder we are saying as believers to have an impact. No wonder, even in the days of the coronavirus, we are not really seeing believers who are taking occasion of this calamity in order to have an impact for Christ. It's primarily because of the fact that we are not growing. We are not putting in everything to become like Christ. And therefore, when the crisis hits, we are all scattered. May God have mercy on us. In fact, when you come to this age, you soon realize the spiritual incentive that the Apostle Peter gives. For the reason why we should pursue this quality, why we should possess and grow in spiritual quality. Listen to the reason that it is, and we can't miss the fact that it is so that we might be effective. Here I say, even during COVID-19. Listen, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being effective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accordingly, positively, this is what he's saying. That if these qualities are yours and interesting, they make you possess. They make you in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. He said, go for them! Because once you have them, and once we have them in increasing measure, your life has a great impact. Well, today, I just want us to think about possessing and growing in this spirituality. Trust me, that once you understand what that means, we see what it is we should be seeking to be and seeking to do in order for our lives to truly be in fact, possessing and growing in spirituality. This program that this 18, this 18, assumes that every healthy believer possesses these qualities. Every healthy believer possesses these qualities. So the Bible says, for if these qualities are yours, that it is not one that is assuming that it's a believer and not have these qualities. It's not like he's unsure about it. It is rather saying, look, if you have this, then it is what is going to be done. It is that aspect that really has the if close to it. But in terms of having this person, teacher is assuming, and the Bible assumes that every true believer will be like this. So really, I want to be asking you, if you claim to be a Christian today, do you possess this quality in some measure? Do you? Have you added to your faith virtue? Have you added to your virtue knowledge? Have you added to your knowledge steadfastness? Have you added to your steadfastness that you speak about in terms of self-control? Have you added to your self-control genuine godliness? Have you added to godliness brotherly affection? And have you added to brotherly affection love? Can you describe in those words? You see, when the Apostle Peter speaks in terms of having these qualities, if these qualities are yours, if they are in your possession, if you own them, he has in mind the way in which we own property. In other words, it's something that is yours for the keeping. And there are other ways in which people possess things and think they're not really there. In the morning, for instance, if you are driving out of the capital city of Osaka, it's probably the same in other towns as well, and you are getting out in the more rural areas, you will be coming across individuals from bicycles who are cycling into the city center with a lot of vegetables and farm produce on those bicycles. The farm produce is not there. They don't possess it. They may have bought it, but they've got no interest in keeping it whatsoever. As soon as they get into the city, they get into the marketplaces, they will want to offload those farm produce so that they can give them over in exchange for money and head back again to their homes. You see, that kind of possession is not the kind of possession that Peter has in mind here. That which is transient, which is as here now and tomorrow is gone. When trials come, when temptations come, when COVID-19 comes, then this is a tiny, it's a fear in your nothingness. No, no! Peter has in mind the possession that is permanent. So that these characteristics describe you all the time. Come weak, come brave, come strong, come whatever you come. You can be described in this church. That's where a person of church, in other words, a person of excellence. That's the way in which you continue to live. creature who's always full of the knowledge of God. You possess that knowledge. You don't run away in the midst of difficulties and begin to question God, His purpose for you, His love for you. No! You remain that way. And that's the reason why steadfast is the thing. Come be here. With respect to self-control too. So these are characteristics, virtues, qualities that remain with you. And you can go on to all the others, holiness, brotherly affection, love, service. Can you be described that way? Can you? Would your spouse describe you that way? That even when difficulties come into the context of your home, between you and husband and wife, or between yourselves and your children, can they still see that there is this consistency about you? With respect to this one, that is the point is, if your Christianity is empty, and it is only described in His words when the weather is great and everybody is being good to you, there are no temptations and no trials to rock the little boat of your life. No coronavirus has come into the world to wreak havoc. When the flood hits against every part of your life, all these are lost. Most likely, you are not a true Christian. You are not. No, no, the Bible assumes that this is true about every believer. If God is in this religion that is in the cross, in the front of God, then you may need to go to Christ and say to Him, make me a real Christian. Make me a real Christian. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that so that I may have the spirit of stamina that can handle all situations of life. Let me say it again. The Bible assumes if you are a believer, you will have these qualities. The second aspect of what we are reading here is that the Bible also makes it clear that healthy Christians grow in this qualities. Healthy Christians grow in this qualities. And that's what we want to see in our text. Second Peter, chapter 1, and verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, if they are yours and are increasing, I mentioned the fact that the preacher uses the phrase, if these are yours. Really, his burden at this point is not so much the possession as the growing in these qualities. In fact, that's what the spine down to Castlevania was all about. When he was saying, add to faith, virtue, and add to it knowledge, and add self-control, and add empathy, and so on. But really, it's in terms of growing in these, rather than merely possessing them. In fact, the English word that we have there for increasing is quite a bit of an understatement. Because the equivalent in the Greek, the actual word that is there, is the same root from which we have the word plenty. In plentiful supply. In other words, in abundance. So really, the best one for the foolish man is this. Yes. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, plentifully, that would be a closer friend to the actual Greek original. It is the sense of you helping them so abundantly that the people around you are going, wow!
And you brought into automatic color.
is that you are still continuing to climb. You're still continuing to climb. Often, when you are in an airplane and you take off, you have the pilot still getting the sort of seatbelt sign on. And basically, after that point, you're not allowed to move around anywhere. You must still remain. And then you get yourself because the angle of the airplane is very different from the source. So you have to fall down if you try to do anything. But at some point, the stylist goes off. And the cabin crew make their announcement that you are now free to move around, but each time this doesn't show you put in the seat belt. In other words, you now cruise in this stage. There's no need to keep climbing in any further. In fact, you can even see the pilot come out of his cabin, sit around, get his sort of drink or chat. Go back in. It's now relaxed stage. The Christian faith is never like that. There's nothing about Pharaoh who's now got the abundance. Therefore, we can now get into cruel stage and still get to heaven. There's nothing. This is find their way now into your land, travel. So the prophet said, "One is more vital than another. What is he doing to prevent that first stage? Because with the mountain man in abundance, then one kind of and stop in order to get your food from out of the place of pain and bring you back into providing. But the point is, it's the multiplication, it's the abundance that he uses as a fuel. It's the same, the hate, in the whole world, and it is in the driver's multiplying in the human body. But that's the negative view. You have to now change that negative view to the positive. It is when these qualities multiply, when they are abundant in your person, when it is the copious supply of these qualities in your being, that you cannot help but be effective wherever you are. Because now the things, the qualities drive you to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. What is the point? Because that's really the point that I want us to make as we carry on to close. Because the biblical fact is that these qualities are the fountain of fruitfulness in the Christian life. The fountain of fruitfulness. Back to our text. For if these qualities are yours, and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is right. Next week, we will go into a lot more of the details concerning this being kept from being and unfruitful in our Christian lives. So today, I just want us to know this as a fact. That's all. That this is what it is. And the reason why I want us to know this as a fact is quite simple. It's that we must never aim to be effective and fruitful as Christians directly. We must never aim. Because if you try to aim at being fruitful and effective directly, we soon run out of eggs. We soon run out of eggs. So I have a few suggestions to the church leaders that are very concerned about the lack of commitment of church members. And so they are meeting in the next meetings and say, okay, so what should we do? And this says, let's invite Brother Thomas, because he's a powerful preacher. He's a fire and brimstone preacher. Let's invite him to come and preach. And this is the thing, that when he comes to preach, we should give him the topic, Christian communities. Because he will then come as a preacher of Christian communities. He is going to put heat, fire under the feet of our church members and really make them see that they are terrible because they are committed. And therefore, we may get some real commitment out of the members of our church. Well, the book of the matter is the preacher comes and they have to put this under their feet, and for the next week, 2 weeks, you have quite a lot of zealous church members. But the text what you back to spread about. You now have to invite that person back to that person. For how long? You don't aim for effectiveness and fruitfulness directly. You either need a person to get your members to do that, or you yourself, when you convince yourself
Be delivered from our debt.
so that you may indeed be something of what Christ wants us to be. After the world, he said to Jesus. After the children, he said to Jesus. After the family, neighbors, he said to Jesus. Friends, he said to Jesus. But even more so, the day in which we are, the COVID-19 raging out. The world, dead society, needs the kind of Christians who are not simply thinking of a self-preservation.
Thank you.